11 town for my chiropractor, stuck in traffic. How about it? The GPS says no traffic reported and we're doing 7.1 miles an hour.
So I'm currently working on the George's video from the meeting, his presentation on fiber optics. And the audio is terrible, very low. I'm wondering, is there a way we can, going forward, you know, fix this? The last two presentations had terrible audio. I know the first one, you weren't there. That was Diane's, and it had a lot of echo. It was very difficult to work with. This one, the audio is quite low. I'm trying to download some software here to see if I can amplify it. But I don't know. Do you monitor it as it's going on? Do you have an idea of how it's coming across on the Zoom?
I usually do not bring any type of headphones or anything to monitor that. But what happens is I'll usually watch the chat box. So if somebody says it's low, the other problem is that people have this. We have the issue with the two microphones. We weren't able to hook them up together. For a while, we were able actually to hook it into the same system, but it's not working.
So we're using one mic to feed the house system as well as being Zoom. So now you've got two microphones, the house mic and the Zoom mic. People don't hold the mic in place, or when they go and ask a question in the audience, you know, they don't come up to a mic.
Yeah, understood. Well, it's been problematic because we're trying to use these as content for our YouTube channel. So I'm wondering maybe going forward we could figure out some way to ensure the quality assurance on it, you know, as it's being recorded. If there's an issue, you know, correct it on the fly or what have you. It would be very helpful. Otherwise, these videos are going to be useless for YouTube. I know in the past they were good, so I don't know what the difference is. But yeah, if you can think about it, and maybe come up with something that would be very helpful.
I would say one, if we can, whoever the speaker is, if we can get a lavalier wireless. I don't think I have any anymore. Most of my professional video stuff and audio stuff got destroyed in Sandy. That would help probably at least with the speaker. I don't know how that will work with the audience. I think we would have to set up a microphone and just tell people to stand up and speak microphone for that issue. I got to see if I have a pair of headphones that I can monitor it on. Like I said, Gary's usually good. I usually get a thing if the audio is bad or not, or somebody sends a text. Not well.
Yeah. So maybe we have to advise those folks to be more vigilant also and make sure that they let us know right away. As far as the audience participation, one of the things we can do is, I mean, if we can just get the speaker's audio fine, we can then instruct the speaker to repeat any question he gets from the audience. Often I see that on you know, network TV or what have you, where maybe they don't have the audience mic'd, but the speaker will repeat the question and then answer it.
I'll see if Jerry has a lavalier microphone that we can fit on the speaker. That would probably help. I mean, we could use the handheld during the actual meeting, but for the patient, that may make a difference.
All right, very good. Okay. Anyway, I got a QSY. Got some guys going out to Middle Island today to do some work, and I have to touch base with them. Have a good one. Hope the chiropractor helps, and we'll talk to you later. W1EMR and Y2H.
Feel better. Talk to you soon. W1EMR. Thank you.
WOGB Mobile.
W2VL repeater.
FlyMark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
WHCDL mobile.
W2VL repeater.
WHCDL KD2FIU.
Yeah, George, how you doing? Good seeing you yesterday. You all had a good time? How are you?
I'm okay, Andy. I hope you're doing well there. Yes, it was good to see you and see a few other people. And I'm sorry I got there so late, but I have a problem that I'm dealing with. And but it was good. It was good. Were you busy? I mean, when I came to see you, you were working on an 897 Yaesu. And, yeah, you're right. It was a very popular, good radio. But were you busy yesterday?
It's a good thing you said 897, because I'm looking for that guy that brought it to me. I did not get his information. I just gave him my card. And I can't get in touch with him because I don't know who he is. But, all right. Maybe he'll call me. I told him to call me. Because I wanted to tell him something. Well, I was busy towards the end. In the first 2 hours or so, things were pretty quiet. But then towards the end, it picked up a bit, which was good. So, yeah, overall, I was busy. You know, the day goes pretty fast.
Good, good. Yeah, you know, I guess that's the way it goes with what you're offering to do. People have got to move around and then settle on a piece of gear before they're asking for it to be checked out. So, the first hour and a half, people haven't really gotten the piece of gear in their minds, in their hands yet. Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, a guy came over with a Yaesu. I don't remember the model because there's so many different models. He wanted to know if it could go on 11 meters. So, kind of interesting. And he said he wants to use it on 11 meters, but it's not transmitting on 11. It's locked out. And he says that there is a mod that would unlock it, which I don't know about. And I'm not even familiar with the radio. He gave me the manual for it, so as a courtesy, I'm looking through the manual to figure out how to even set it up, because there's so many menus in this thing. There's 160-something menus. You go into the menu mode, and then each menu location, you can make adjustments, and that's the only thing I like about these new radios. The way it is now, it's sometimes you got to read the manual. Not sometimes, you got to read the manual to figure out where to go, how to navigate your way around these things. Not like just turning it on. In a way, I like the older radios, but you don't have to go through all these screens just to get to something. So that's the way it is.
82AKX for the comment.
Yes, 11-meter comment, yes. Don't use it on 11 meters, I know that.
Now, you open it up on the main board. There are three diodes. You just remove the diodes, and it opens up the radio. I did it on my 897.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, I was going to look it up on the internet. I'm sure there's a YouTube video and everything else on how to do it. You know, even though, you know, it's controversial. Controversial? Or however you want to say it. But, yeah, I figured it'd be something simple. Just that I never did it. So, if you don't do it, you got to figure it out.
Yeah, indeed, there's three surface mount diodes, basically, on one side of them. And it moves the radio and opens up a lot of stuff.
That's good. Yeah, it does general coverage because you go into the GENE. There's a button you press. I think it's me. It says GEN. General coverage. But even in the menu screen, then I'll give it to George. Going through the menus in the general coverage section of the menu screen, it starts at I think number 111 and goes up to 118. Each menu location for 111, 112, 13, 14, 15, 16, and so on. You know, then you once you make that, you change the number, then you adjust it to whatever you wanted to do. So there's a lot of adjustments. Go ahead, George.
Yeah. Most general coverage receive radios will have general coverage transmit, and they gated it with diodes to limit it. Some radios you have to remove multiple diodes. Some radios you remove a single diode. Some radios have diodes for groups of bands where you will have three diodes. Some radios will have nine diodes and a single diode that bypasses all of the multiple diodes, whether it was the group diode or the individual band diode. And a lot of them will have a single one diode that is going to open them all. So they're all different. But you got to start with general coverage radios, general coverage receive. Over to you, John.
Thanks, George. I was just listening, and I just wanted to let Andy know. Yeah, you can Google it, Yaesu mod. There's quite a number of them. And I did it on my 897. Yeah, a lot of fun. Andy?
Okay, I don't remember the model number, nor did I write it down, or the one that he put on the table of the Yaesu. I know it was Yaesu. But I didn't write the model number. There's so many different numbers. You know, it used to be a time when I knew all the model numbers just by number. But that goes back to the 80s. Nowadays, there's so many different numbers out there. It's hard to remember all the different numbers that are on the market. So even going back to the 90s. So that's the way it is. But in any case, I don't know... if he wanted me to do it, or if he wanted to do it himself, or just wanted to know how to do it. But it's not just as simple as you're saying, John. Not just simply just going to a menu location and changing something. You gotta get into the menu. Right, I got a phone call. I'll be right back. WHCDL.
Well, the biggest Yaesu that everybody loved in the 11-meter band was FT-101.
Yeah, we were talking about that, John. This is KD2FIU. And that's because the ease of it was is that you had a fixed crystal slot that you could populate and then adjust the IF for that band that you wanted to add in that spare fixed crystal slot. And additionally, like we were talking yesterday, so many came from the factory with the AM mod in it. Over to you, John.
All right, George. Well, just putting my paperwork together to get out on the road. Heard you talking, so I jump in and give you my sense. Great seeing you yesterday, and KD2AKS.
Okay, John. John. I was going to compliment you with that. It was real good to see you. And I do have a quick question, but 73KD2FIU.
Hi, WHCDL is back.
I had a phone call, so I was away. Is George still there?
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Here is WP2EAV. Listen.
Good afternoon, Ed. 82KNH.
Good afternoon, Charlie. Nice, bright, sunny day in the middle of Big Philly. How you doing?
Well, it's Monday. I can complain about that, but not about the weather. Beautiful, clear sky, 47 degrees, which is about right for this time of year, so it had to happen.
Yes, I understand perfectly. So, let's see. I don't think a tremendous amount has happened since I spoke to you. What was it, about this time yesterday?
I think it was a little later, but that doesn't matter. Or was it around this time? Pretty close. Yes, I had some Chinese food since then. But, you were told me about the ham fest, so I'm filled in on that.
So, meanwhile, everybody is all a flutter, particularly those of us who follow such things. I assume you heard about that crash in Texas between two antique World War II planes. I am beyond upset about that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, horrible loss of life, and from what I saw in the video, it should have never happened, but not being a pilot, you know, I only have one angle of what was going on, but it looks like the Bell aircraft took out the B-17.
Yeah, but here's my point. As a general rule, airplanes are never allowed to get remotely near each other. The only exception is when you're doing something like an air show where you might have a batch of planes flying together in a formation. But they're all going at the same speed, doing a practice routine, and never coming at each other from odd angles. This seems to violate every one of those rules.
I agree 100%. It's like an old classic car show. You know, you just do a slow flyby so people can see, the two aircraft. And so anytime you see, like, the Confederate Air Force flying or the B-51 is flying with the other, you know, newer aircraft, you know, they have good separation and, very safe and good visibility. It's mind-boggling.
I'm not sure you realize this, Charlie. That was the Confederate Air Force. They call it commemorative now because, I mean, they assume that any association with the Confederacy was so absurd no one would pay a serious attention. But apparently enough people did pay it attention that they had to change the name and made it commemorative Air Force, and it's their planes.
Sorry to hear that. Yeah, it's a shame. I don't follow the politics of what's going on. Everything has to be changed to appease somebody, unfortunately. You know, the Confederates, you know, they died fighting for their beliefs in our country as well. So it's like, I'm sure you're on the same page. But, yeah, I mean, you hate to see anything happen, whether it's an air show or car race or, you know, but from my source, it should have never happened.
Yeah, well, of course, you know, the fact fact that there were six fatalities, you know, it's a tragedy. Every fatal air accident is a tragedy. But this one adds another dimension of it is destroyed part of history. And that bothers me more so than any other, you know, sixth-death aircraft accident for that reason. I mean, they all have that in common. They're all equally tragic. But this adds an extra dimension to it, and it bothers me that it doesn't seem to make any sense. Why was that plane coming at an odd angle when the first rule of aviation is never fly remotely near anybody else, and they go to incredible pains to prevent that. Now, before you might say, what about these simulated dogfights with the old biplanes at Rhinebeck Airdrome? Those are as carefully choreographed and rehearsed as, you know, as a ballet. This obviously was not remotely that. But what was even was just as bad. There was a very, very similar accident. We lost another B-17 a couple of years ago. When I read the accident report, I nearly broke down and cried. Give me one second. I'll tell you about that one. I'll let you know about it.
82 KNH. Yeah, it is a great loss of history to have, you know, our flying, you know, flying memorials. But I know we have plenty of versions in museums, but you know, not flying, and people can actually stay and climb aboard. But enlighten me. I'm trying to remember what the details were under the other crash.
The pilot was also their main mechanic, and he'd been having a bear of a problem with engine number 4, the outboard right side engine, and it took him a good while to even get it started. Meanwhile, the flight engineer, because they were doing a, you know, paying visitors for a joyride, the flight engineer was the stewardess. And when they take off, the flight engineer is not in the flight engineer seat. And they get up a couple hundred feet, and an engine cocks out on the right side. And the pilot slash mechanic just assumes it's number 4 and shuts it down. And then realizes, no, it was number 3. So now we have both engines on the right side out, and not much altitude to play with. Then he doesn't even declare an emergency to head right back in. So he has to do the pattern that you would normally do for landing, and the plane didn't quite make it. It technically made it to the runway, but not really. You know what I'm saying? It really was just a bit short of the runway. It kind of like bounced onto the runway, but it was too late then. And couldn't stay on the runway and crashed into a building off the runway. It was destroyed. There was some survivors, but several people got killed.
All right. Yeah, you did definitely remind me of what happened. I had heard the report. And yeah, it's like a terrible loss. And like most of these air disaster documentaries you follow, it's just amazing how many things go wrong. It could have been, settle if they just declared an emergency and took care of things right away.
Yeah, that one really hurt because it was preventable. If the flight engineer was there, if the pilot took another second to check the engine instrumentation, make sure, verify as number 4 and say, ooh, 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 it's number 3, okay, cut down number 3 and whatever, but and then not declaring an emergency and having to do a full approach where you didn't really have enough altitude to do it. What a mess. All right, I'm here. Do enjoy. Have a nice day. WB3.
All right, Ed. You have a good day. Talk to you again soon. KD2KNH clear, 73.
73.
WB2ZFC.
Thank you.
Romeo Yankee 41, Washington Square, Boston.
Mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Not receiving a serious signal. unless you're changing from a simple little antenna to some huge, like a large Yagi array or something, where maybe you're receiving more noise or something, unless you're doing that, I don't see where the antenna would have any effect on it at all. I assume you're talking to me with that antenna and everything's working okay, so she's sounding fine.
Okay, I guess that's all that counts. Like I say, I just installed it, like, not even 15 minutes ago. So I'll see if it's screwed down tightly. But as long as you're getting me good, I guess that's all that would count. KC2, Golf, Zulu Charlie.
Well, I will tell you that having me hear you clearly is a much harder task than having you hear me clearly. That's anything to do with you or me, you know what I'm saying? Receivers are more forgiving than transmitters, so the transmitter is the proof of the pudding, and you sound beautiful. So I wouldn't worry about anything else unless, you know, perhaps, say, the receiver goes completely dead and you hear nothing, but you would know that.
Copy that. Thanks for the input. This is KC2, Golf Bit Charlie. I'll be clearing your final.
Perfect timing, because I am about to give my final, because I am here. Well, good luck with your new toys. Enjoy it and good health. And with that, WB2 EAV will be clear.
73.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Whiskey Bravo 2, Mike Sierra Bravo Mobile, listening.
fly mark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Radios in it. I'll see if it's the same model that you're talking about. Did you modify it?
It's coming back to me now. Yeah, it was for some kind of demonstration for a class that was going to be given. And if I recall, I had to disconnect the power amplifier and just run it on extremely low power. So I think that's what I did. I think I did that. Or something to that effect. I had to lower the power because of the environment that they wanted to test this. I gotta think about it because it's been a while, you know. But I remember I did make the modification and they did do the test and it worked. So they were happy with that. But I think it gave me extra ones for parts. And I think one worked and one didn't. Something like that. Anyway, I'm just pulling up here. I'll be back in a few minutes. I gotta take care of something.
All right, I'll be stuck in traffic.
Everybody's stuck in traffic right now. All right, I'll talk to you soon. I'm only into a parking lot here. W8CDL. YYC, W-H-C-D-L, I'm back.
It's YYC.
Okay, so, just pulling out now. And, boy, it's cold today. Even though it's 1046 degrees, but it feels colder than that.
Well, I was in Pennsylvania yesterday. It was, 30.
Was.
Yes.
Okay. That's a trip for a wedding. All right. Yeah. So what else? Yeah, that's about it. Just trying to get myself organized. I got a lot of sorting out to do.
I was in Hampshire.
New Hampshire? That was weeks ago. That's good. You gotta go to New Hampshire. It's nice.
How long did you stay for?
Not long. Only, wait a minute. I want to make sure I don't get hit, buddy. How long did I stay? 2 days. It's fast. I don't spend a lot of time there. At least not right now. I got there Thursday night, and I left Saturday afternoon. If I would have made arrangements at a resort or something to stay, I would have. But I did not. And, although, you know, I go to it, they have a dinner that we go to. You know, the guys go to and I join them. But that was a lot of fun.
So did you find any bargains there?
There were plenty of bargains, but I did not look because I am not looking to buy anything. I have too much as it is.
So maybe you should be selling this.
That's what I got to do. I got to start collecting things that I'm going to get rid of and bring it, and hopefully not bring it back. So we'll see.
How about the bunny box? Any update on that?
No, not yet. I got to start working. That'll be my next project. One of my next projects. I got to get going on that. I want to get that done. That's going to take a little time.
So I guess you won't be having a hunt anytime soon.
No, that's not necessarily true. What's stopping someone from hiding and just talking into a microphone? You know, in the car. Doesn't have to be an on-foot thing. And then, especially on 10 meters, because we used to have hunts on 10 meters. We're not going to use the box on that band. Although, I could build one. I could just take a different radio and put it into the box, and that'll work. I thought about that idea, too.
And what happened?
Nothing happened. And that's what I'm saying. I just thought about the idea, but I didn't do anything yet because of other things going on. But during the winter months, yes. I mean, I'm definitely going to work on this during the winter for sure. Get the box back, and I'll do something else. But also, you know, I'm looking to do other things as well. So other things outside of amateur radio. So that'll be something good also. Radio is just a hobby. This is just a hobby. I got to get involved in other things.
Okay, what you picking up some new hobbies?
I might. It's good to be diversified or into different things like you are. Because you're into boats, boating, amateur radio, and other things, which I probably don't know about. And that's a good thing, you know. It's good to get involved with different things.
Sure. Have you been on IHF lately?
Very sporadically, not consistent. Only because I'm so involved in other things right now. When I get the time or the urge, I go on a little bit, and I don't. But again, during the winter months, when I'm not going to be spending that much time outside, then I'll play around more.
Into YYC. I haven't been on about a week, but 10 meters is still going strong.
Yes. I've been listening on and off. It's bad but good.
What happened? Are you still working, or is that finished?
No, I'm still working, too. But part-time. All right, I just pulled back into the driveway. Took care of what I need to take care of. For now, anyway.
Okay, so how's the beam working out?
Yes, very good. All the antennas are working fine.
So is that a multi-band beam?
Which one? The HF beam is a tri-band, 10, 15, 20 meters.
And what other antennas do you have up?
I'm in the process of putting up the vertical, the gap Titan. That'll be all the bands. 10, 15, 20, 40, 80, and the walk bands. At least that's what they claim, so I'm going to be testing it. That's going up. And then I got a 75-meter dipole separate. That's going to be changed out to a better antenna, better dipole. And then I got the UHF and VHF stuff, which is already up. Some of it, anyway. I got more to put up, depending on what I want to do. So, yeah, and all that works. It's all working. The gap Titan I haven't tested yet. I have to check that out, see if it will resonate on the band it's supposed to.
How do you tune that antenna? I heard one bomb.
No, there's really not much to tune. Most of it is all fixed dimensions. There's that's one element that you got to slide in and out to make it longer or shorter. And then there's the lower, they call it a hoop. It's a strange name. It's a, it's part of the tune circuit. And I think, again, I read the instructions, I glanced over it, but I got to look at it again. I don't think there's much tuning involved with that. So, but I'm gonna put it on an antenna analyzer. Then I'm going to see exactly what the 2-to-1 bandwidth, that's 2-to-1 SWR bandwidth is. Because normally, according to what I've read, when you check an antenna, you want to check its 2-to-1 SWR bandwidth. You know, if I can, if you want, I can explain what I mean. So if an antenna, WH2CDL, if an antenna is resident, let's say at 14175 on 20 meters, and let's say it's got a, you know, it's got a 200 KC bandwidth, I'm just making up a number. Usually when they say that, that's, they specify that at the edge. When they say 200 KC, you know, it's plus or minus 100 KC. That's 200 KC from the low end to the top end. And usually, from what I read, that's where the SWR goes as high as 2-to-1. And anything either further above or further below will cause the SWR to increase even more, most cases. Sometimes the SWR goes back down and comes back up. It depends on the antenna and where it's mounted and the configuration. But normally they check it. It's checked at the 2-to-1 bandwidth ratio. And I have the curves for this one. So I can check it against the, I shouldn't say I have the curves for this. It was compared to another antenna. But I don't know how accurate that was. Anyway, I'll see what it is. I'm going to make my own calculations from it.
So, do you have a tuner on the radio you use or an external tuner?
I do. The one in the house I have because I'm on 75 meters. And I need a tuner. The antenna's bandwidth is pretty narrow. So if I go to 3885, and if I go from there down to 3805, you know, if I go like 800 KC or so, what's the bandwidth? 75 meters starts where? It's funny, I don't remember. And goes up as high as, I don't remember, but I haven't written down. Whatever it is, so I compensate it by using an antenna tuner. So I retune the antenna tuner so the SWR goes back down again because it goes up, depending on what frequency I'm on.
Into YYT. Well, I find that the antenna I have. 5RV, my tuner doesn't seem to really like 10 meters. It will tune, but it can take literally a minute to tune it.
What tuner is that you have?
An LDG automatic tuner.
Oh, and when you tune on 10 meters, it has trouble finding the right tuning elements to tune?
It's fine. It just takes a long time. It, you know, you hear it going on for over a minute.
Yeah, elements was not the right word. I just pulled it out. I couldn't think of the word. Yeah, the tuning values. That's the word I was thinking of. I'm trying to think. The tuning values of the capacitors and the inductors at the frequency that it's tuned for. Well, yeah, what if 10 meters is pretty wide, right? It starts at 28 megs and goes up to 29.5. I think that's the high end of the band. So that's a mega cycle and a half.
Well, I don't think, I don't know how, I think the higher end is FM. I don't think they do HF on it. But, yeah, regardless, any, you know, I tune any portion, and it, like I said, it takes a long time for it to tune up.
How long? Yeah, no, it's you're right, it's FM. It's 29 megs. I don't know where the FM band, where the FM mode starts. It could be 29 megs. I know it's because there's repeaters up there. So I'm just curious. How long does it take for the LDG? I said it backwards. LDG. How long does it take for that tuner to tune on 10 meters as compared to 20 meters?
10 meters is over a minute. 20 meters is like 20 seconds.
Yeah, there's something that's not right. Shouldn't take that long. Unless your SWR is really that high. And it's trying to get it down, but it really can't. Because the question is, I'm not familiar with all these different antenna tuners. Since it's automatic, how low does the SWR have to go before it satisfies the tuner's range? So in other words, if the LDG is automatic and the SWR is going down, but the LDG says, okay, it's not going down far enough. I'm going to keep tuning until it goes down again. And then I'm going to keep tuning until it goes down again and all that. So that takes time. So the question is, how low does the SWR have to be on that one band? And it could be just on one band, or could be all the bands, before that antenna tuner is satisfied and will stop tuning.
Well, on 10 meters, it only gets the SWR down to 1.5. Other bands, it's 1:1.
So the lowest you're going is 1.5. And it won't go any lower.
No, I think, you know, I think it's just the antenna. You know, the antenna is not really that tunable for that band. So that's the best we can do.
Yeah. Well, that's where it starts. I mean, technically speaking, when you have a 2:1 SWR, here's how it works. Because it's a ratio of your forward power to your reflected power. That's your standing wave ratio, VSWR, voltage standing wave ratio. So a perfect match would be if you have a 50-ohm source and a 50-ohm load, then all your power is being dissipated into the load, given whatever impedance it is, in this case 50 ohms. So with a 2:1 SWR, that would mean that you have a source impedance of what